In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you, O Lord, have sailed me to eternity.
grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this commandment before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Atone for our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?"
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
brothers are afraid. So afraid that they feel the need to lie to Joseph, telling him that their father's dying request was that Joseph forgive them. This is because they know what they truly deserve for the evil they had done to Joseph. Out of jealousy and hatred, they sold their brother into slavery. They hoped that they would never hear from him again. They disowned him completely. Whether he lived or died didn't matter to them. They simply wanted him out of their lives. And now their father is dead, and they fear that Joseph will finally take his revenge. It doesn't matter that Joseph has taken them in and cared for their needs. They ignore the fact that he has embraced them and shown them his love, never even giving a hint that he desired to get even with them. But they simply can't wrap their minds around the fact that Joseph has forgiven them and forgotten their dastardly deeds toward him. It just won't compute. Surely, they think, he's just biding his time, waiting for the opportunity to finally settle the score. They think this because they know themselves. They know what they would do if they were in his shoes. They would want some payback. So they lie to Joseph in the attempt to save their guilty skin. They will not rely on their brother's mercy. That's too risky. Better to convince Joseph that Dad has commanded him to show them mercy. That's a safer bet, for they know how much Joseph loved their father. If they can convince him that their father's dying wish was for Joseph to forgive them, maybe, just maybe, Joseph will comply. And all of this simply breaks Joseph's heart. He weeps, for he has long since forgiven his brothers. He has taken them in and lavished them with his love. How could they possibly think that he's still somehow plotting their destruction? He has gone out of his way to arrange for their safety, to care for them in their time of need, to give them a place to live, to make sure that they and their children have food to eat. What more could he have done to prove to them that he loved them, that he had forgiven them, that he wanted nothing but the best for them? Nevertheless, Joseph knows what his brothers need. They need assurance. They need comfort. So he gives it to them. He speaks his word of absolution to them, telling them that what they meant for evil, God meant for good. He tells them that he will continue to provide for them and their little ones. Do not fear, he says, for I have forgiven you. More than that, I have forgotten your sins against me. But dear friends, how much like Joseph's brothers are we? For we have been shown remarkable love and mercy by our Father in heaven. He sent his Son into the world to save us, to live a perfect life in our place, and to pay the price for every single one of our sins on the cross. He has gone out of his way to show us mercy. And he promises that Jesus has done everything necessary for our salvation. He promises us that through faith in Jesus, we are forgiven. What's more, he promises us that he will remember our sins no more. For our sins are gone. Jesus bore them all on the cross and put them to death. And yet, we often still feel the need to barter with God. We're often still very afraid that he will give us what we deserve for our sins. Mercy is still far too often a lost concept on us. For we know what is in our hearts and how pitiful we are at the whole showing mercy to others business. This is the reason we come to church every week, by the way. It's not to fulfill some obligation or to make us feel a little better about ourselves. It's because we know how desperately we are in need of God's mercy. It's because, like Joseph's brothers, we need to be reassured and comforted to know time and time again that God is merciful to us. We need to hear the salvation story of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, time and time again. Because we need to hear him say to us, "I forgive you all your sins." We need that because our sins are great and many, and we know what we deserve because of them. We don't just confess that going through the routine at the beginning of divine service each week, but inside each one of us, we know. We know what we truly deserve because of our sins. And so we come here to find refuge. We come here because we fear the Lord and know that he alone can provide the refuge we need. We come here to plead for ourselves, to fall down before our Lord and cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon us." And the good news, the remarkable good news, the wonderful good news, is that our Lord fills our ears with what they need to hear. Like Joseph, he assures us that he has forgiven us, that he remembers our sins no more, and that he will provide for us. For like Joseph, he was hated by his brothers, who sold him into slavery and handed him over to foreigners to kill him. But as it was with Joseph, so it is with our Lord Jesus, the greater Joseph. What his brothers and we sinners are counted among his hateful and betraying brothers, what his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. For he was enslaved with our sins, indeed with the sins of the whole world, and put to death on the cross to win our forgiveness, life, and salvation. So like Joseph, he rescues us from the famine of life in this dead and dying world and brings us into a new land, his eternal kingdom, to care for our every need. Like Joseph, he makes sure that we are well fed, for he provides for our every bodily need in this life, but more than that, he feeds us with the bread of life, his very body and blood, to strengthen and preserve us spiritually. He never lets us down. His mercy endures forever. It is never spent. There is always more. That's what it means when he gives to us in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The mercy of our Lord always flows out and never runs dry. For we are always more than okay in the arms of our loving Savior, who laid down his perfect sinless life in our place, that we imperfect sinful people would be counted as holy and righteous in the eyes of God our Father. And dear friends, this remarkable good news of what our Savior has done for us informs how we live. As our Lord Jesus says to us, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." But be good Lutherans. Notice that our Lord doesn't say here, "Your salvation depends upon whether or not you are merciful and avoid judging and condemning and give freely." If that was the case, you would all be doomed. For who among you can possibly say that you've been merciful toward others at all times in your lives? Or that you've never played God and judged and condemned others as being worthy of eternal damnation? Or that you've always forgiven those who have wronged you right away? Or that you've always given generously and freely, even cheerfully, of the blessings God has bestowed upon you to serve him and to serve your neighbors. Who among you has not failed to show mercy when you should have? Who among you has not sought to get even, to take revenge, to settle the score with those who have wronged you in some way, or at least hoped that they would somehow get theirs eventually? Repent, for you have failed miserably to live the way your Lord graciously invites you to live in him. As he says, why do you seek to remove the speck in your brother's eye rather than the log in your own eye? You have enough sins of your own to contend with. Stop playing the hypocrite. Repent. But do not lose heart, dearly beloved. For no disciple is above his teacher. What your Lord and teacher commands of you here, he has fulfilled in your place. He is merciful as his Father is merciful. He came not to judge and condemn, but to save. He forgives his enemies, even crying out from the cross in agony, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He gives everything, even his very life, in perfect obedience to his Father and in gracious service to his neighbors, that is, all sinners, including you. Thus, your Lord and teacher puts these commands before you not as conditions you must meet to merit salvation and entrance into heaven, but to teach you how to live as his disciples. His disciples who have been saved and whose entrance into heaven has already been secured. For you are being trained, dear friends, and your Lord puts before you the way to holy living as his disciples, that you would eagerly strive to live in that way, that you would strive to show mercy to others, to refrain from judging and condemning other sinners as if you were somehow better or superior, and that you would give freely of your time, talents, and treasures in service to God and neighbor. Your training will not end until you finally get to the kingdom, to the eternal kingdom to come, where you will finally then be like your teacher and know him as he is. And no longer will you be commanded to do these things, for you will dwell in them perfectly. Until then, strive. Strive to be merciful. Strive to give, to forgive, and to refrain from judging others. And that does not mean that you are not supposed to look at sin and say, that's sin, or hear the false teachings of others and say, that's false teaching. This means, judge not, means that you do not play God. That when you see those things, when you see false teaching, when you see sin before you, you pray. You pray for that person, those people, whoever, to repent. And if you're given an opportunity, you go to those people, especially if they're your brothers and sisters in Christ, and exhort them to repent. That's what it means. This idea that judge not means that we're never allowed to say that anything's ever wrong is completely and utterly false. Understand what your Savior says. Do these things, Jesus says. Be merciful, judge not, forgive, and give. Not as conditions for your salvation, but as people loved by God, as those who have been forgiven and given a kingdom, live in the way of your Savior. And when you fail, repent. And you will fail, and so will I, daily and much. Repent, knowing that your Savior never failed, but loved you to the end. And then get out there and try again. Never stop trying. Never stop striving to show others the love and mercy you have been shown. That's how you live and breathe as Christians in this dead and dying world. May the Holy Spirit empower you to do so, not for your sakes, but for the sake of others, that Christ's kingdom may be expanded. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Spiritual wisdom, that the Holy Spirit would remove the logs from our own eyes, that we might recognize our sin, repent of it, and cling in faith to our crucified and risen Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith in times of trial, that held in our Father's unceasing, steadfast love, we may wait for his salvation, trusting that he uses for our good even what the world intends for evil. And knowing that though he causes grief, yet he will have compassion on us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For lives that overflow with generosity, that we might excel in the grace of giving and support the preaching of the gospel and provide care for all in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Church, that she might speak God's word boldly to the people of this dying world, that her pastors and missionaries, especially our synodical president Matthew, our district president David, our circuit counselor Michael, our pastor Thomas, and all pastors in Christ, and all faithful missionary endeavors, including Issues Etc., the Siberian Lutheran Mission Society, Lutherans in Africa, Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LCMS World Relief and Human Care, Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries, and University Lutheran Chapel. Be strengthened for faithful labor, and that the people of this world may glorify the Father in heaven as they see the good works of his people do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, let us thank our Heavenly Father for the freedoms we enjoy here, especially as we celebrate Independence Day this week. And let us beg him that our land be filled with God-pleasing industry and education, that we be protected from violence and war, that our leaders be gifted, guided by God in all their work, that our people be united in love for this nation, and that our armed forces, especially Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Schauer, be guarded from harm. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For health and healing, that he who laid his hands on many to bring them healing and even life would come to the aid of everyone in need, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Marion Green, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dardy, Bill Harney, Leroy Isaacson, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Dorothy Weiser, Maureen Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCollum, Joan Martins, Landon Cole, Connie and Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsaw, Lee G, Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tulk, Jerry Howard, Pastor Dan Chambers, Ruth Weber, Robin Carter, Danielle West, and Eileen Gerard. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who grieve, that our gracious God grant them comfort in their sorrow, the peace of his presence, and the hope of Christ's resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For forgiving hearts, that each of us, like Christ, might be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful, that we overcome evil with good, and that we be filled with an unfailing readiness to forgive those who have wronged us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the Holy Supper today, that the Holy Spirit bring us to Christ's table filled with repentance for our sinfulness, and that he grant us faith to receive joyfully the very body and blood which our Master and Teacher once offered upon the cross as a full, sufficient sacrifice for our sins and that of the whole world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, as you have promised, hear our prayers for the sake of him who lived, died, and rose for us, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth,
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always. very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. Say, Lord, bless and keep you in your baptism.
Thank you.
body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Yeah.